Okay, I've got 9:03. We'll go ahead and call this regular meeting of the Coryell County Commissioners Court to order at this time, noting that all members of the court are present. For those of you that are here in person, if you've got an electronic device, we'd ask that you place it on silence at this time. And those of you that are participating by Zoom, we would ask that you place your device on mute until such time that you need to address the court. We'll begin this morning with a word of prayer. God, our Father in heaven, we're so thankful to be able to come before you today, and we are so thankful to have you in our lives. And Lord, we, as always, we humbly ask for the forgiveness of our sins. And Lord, most especially, place it in our hearts to forgive each other. Lord, we are so thankful for the blessings that you continue to bestow upon us, the fair weather and the rains that are much needed in this area. Lord, we also ask that you continue to watch over and protect our first responders as they protect us on here on earth. And Lord, as always, we're going to ask for your guidance, your hand of wisdom, so that this court may do what pleases you. We ask all these things in your son's holy name. Amen. Pledge to our flags. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible. The next item on our agenda is the public forum. Citizens may address the court on any matter other than matters concerning county personnel or matters under litigation. Each citizen will be allocated 5 minutes with a total time not to exceed 30 minutes. Is there anyone here in person that would like to address the court this morning? Seeing and hearing none, is there anyone that is participating by Zoom that would like to address the court this morning? Seeing and hearing none, we'll move on to item number 5 on the agenda, which is the consent agenda, noting that there are 4 items there: the December 2024 financial summary report from the county treasurer, the financial summary, the May 25 financial summary report from the county clerk's office, the May 25 financial summary report from the tax assessor collector, and the minutes from the May 27th, 2025 commissioners meeting.
Make a motion to accept agenda A and B.
Say it.
We got a motion to approve the consent agenda from Commissioner Basham and a second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number 5? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. With the court's consent, I'd like to move to item number 12 on the agenda, which is to consider the auditor's report from Roberts and McGee. They've traveled in from out of town, and we obviously have some inclement weather. And so in an effort to be able to get them out of here in a timely manner, I'd ask that we would consider item number 12 at this time. Is there any objections to that? Hearing none, then we'll pick up with item number 12, which is to consider the auditor report from Roberts and McBee.
Good morning.
You may recognize my name. We were here doing the audit. I don't even remember what month. February. Okay. Sounds about right. And Nancy and Matthew were quick to get us the things that we needed, and we appreciate the efforts that everybody puts in keeping the county documents in order and available to us upon request. I'm going to start with this. In the back of the handout she just gave you, there's a letter in the back. This is, if you don't mind, I'll lay that down. This is a letter that we are required as auditors to give to those charged with governance, in this case, the commissioners. It pretty much explains our roles as auditors, your roles as governance, the roles that management possess, just so that everybody's all on the same page. Most of these items are also outlined in our engagement letter that you signed before we began, but this is just a way to sum it up. Under significant audit findings, aspects of the accounting practices, this is where it describes any major note disclosures that need to be attended to, any estimates that are maybe subject to differing opinions, and so those are listed out there. There were no new accounting pronouncements. The newest accounting pronouncement that is out right now is called Sabita. You may have heard of that if you've been to any of accounting training. That's subscription-based IT arrangements. The only one that was applied, and this is from 2 years ago, and you didn't have any then. So it wasn't a new accounting pronouncement for you, but you did this year purchase radios, I believe, for the police department or some, I mean, for the sheriff's department, and that fell under subpoena. So that got included this year, but that's the only thing new, and it didn't have to be entered as a new accounting pronouncement. The only other thing I want to bring your attention to is difficulties encountered in performing the audit. I just wanted to bring this to your attention because of how late we're issuing this. We're getting so close to your next year end, and I think last year issued in April, which is about normal for us for a county like this, and we just weren't able to get all the documents we needed when we were here for field work. They came in a little bit later, so I just wanted to bring that to your attention. It's a lot easier for auditors to get things done if they can get the things they need the week that they're on site. That's all. I don't think there's anything else significant to bring to your attention in this letter other than the audit adjustments, which they're also attached if you're the kind of person who likes to look at numbers, which is not everyone. I've already talked to Matthew and Nancy about trying to get these adjustments posted to your book so that your numbers agree to our numbers, especially as you're going into a new accounting software. So that's that letter. And then we'll go to the audit report. Where I like to start, the most important thing is on page one. The independent auditor's report. This is what you pretty much pay our fee for. The rest of the financial statements are really your numbers. I mean, this is your audit report. We just help you put it together and bind it up. But the opinion on the front, this is what comes from us. This is our independent opinion. And I won't go through and read every word, obviously, but I'll just clean the paper. No modifications, no except fors, no issues that we had raised to the attention. We found no material weaknesses or significant deficiencies to be reported, so that's what you want to clean the paper. I'll run you through just a few highlights. If you want to jump way over with me to page 10, this is your statement of net position. You can see at the end of the year, the county ended with total assets and deferred outflows of resources, $45 million, almost 46. Had total liabilities of about 11 million, deferred inflows of resources of about 3.7, that's similar to deferred revenue. And then at the bottom, you can see a total net position of $30 million. If you turn the page 11, you can see that the change in net position for the year was a negative $2.8 million. So you went from 33 million to about 30 million. A significant amount of that was based on repairs, road and bridge repairs, as far as I can tell. If you switch all the way over to page 13, these are your governmental funds. These don't include long-term assets, long-term liabilities. You can see there was total assets of 17 million, total liabilities of 2.6, with a total fund balance of 13 million at the end of the year. I can go through so many things in detail, but I do not want to bore you to tears. So I was going to highlight a couple of disclosures. If you want to go to page 28, this is your capital asset activity. Like I said, the things that are going to look new on here are these right-of-use assets related to leases. The leases were already on, those are mostly related to all of your enterprise vehicles. And then right-of-use assets, Civita, like I said, that's the equipment that was purchased for the sheriff's office, and it created no liability because you paid for it in advance with the SB22 funds. Finally, I'm going to take you back to page 40. This is your budget for the general fund. You can see the total revenues came in over budget of about $216,000. Expenditures came in under budget of about $1.2. Other financing sources and uses, that's transfers and sale of property and whatnot, they came in under budget of about $77,000. So you had favorable budget variance of $1.4 million in the general fund. So that turned out better than anybody was hoping for. And then I'm going to take you to the very back to page 62. This is the beginning of our single audit section. This year you had more than $750,000 in state awards, not federal awards, but in state awards. So we had to do a state single audit, all related to the SB 22 funds. The sheriff's office got about $500,000, and the county attorney and the district attorney also got some funds, so it pushed you over $750,000. So we performed a single audit on those funds. It requires us to test the internal controls over the expenditure of those funds, and we didn't have any findings related to those either. You can see they're listed on page 67 if you want to look at how much each individual fund was. And then page 68 states, which ones of those we deemed as major programs, which, like I said, were all the SB 22 funds. And also, as I said, we had no findings or corrective action that's necessary related to those. Any questions on any numbers?
No one else.
You went first, but you only sit here a while.
Mine was pretty rough.
Yeah,
but you'll be going the right direction, huh? Into it, through it.
It'll all be clear for sure. The other thing I wanted to remind you of is that we've informed Matthew that we will not be performing your audit this next year. Y'all are just really far out of our radius. We're trying to keep things closer to Abilene, and with that, I just want to encourage you to get on looking for a new auditor. If you start requesting an auditor after your fiscal year end, you're going to be hard pressed to find somebody who will take it on schedules to fill up. So I just wanted to encourage you to do that. We're happy to speak to anybody if they have questions or whatever. I mean, we're really honestly just leaving because of the distance and the drive through the rain didn't help. But like I said, you want to get that request for proposal out as soon as you possibly can. There's lots of options out there you can find, or you can just ask. You know, you don't have to put it out
for one. Come back in August to bring some more rain. It'll be great.
Oh well. No thanks.
All right. All right.
Ms. Hilbert, thank you so much. We appreciate, you know, all that y'all do. With that, does the court have any questions, comments, concerns from Ms. Hilbrick, or anything covering the audit that's been presented to the court?
I'll make a motion to that we accept the audit report from Roberts and McGee, CPA, for year ending September 30th, 2024.
We have a motion to accept the auditor's report from Commissioner Weddle. A second from Commissioner Matthews. Any further discussion concerning item number 12? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Again, thank you.
Be safe.
We'll pick up with item number 6 on the agenda, which is the Road and Bridge Report. Mr. Latham.
Month of May, we have 65 open service requests. We closed out 33. Then we're starting to creep up. So we're paving. So anybody out on that? We normally close out around 30 facilities a month. And we're getting more into the rain. But we bladed Natchez Base, two roads, and bladed 24 roads. Burn brush at four locations. Cleaned out one cattle guard. We resealed four roads there. We resealed new over road base. Oh, good bit there. I'll just go through them. That's section on Bluff Creek from the donation 106, 127, 130, 140, 154 west, 155, 233, 235, 238, 237, and Moscow Bend. Some of those were sections FEMA-related stuff. Clean ditches at three locations, pulled four trees out of the roadway, pushed one fence row. Been spraying edges a good bit. We did that at 32 locations. Been mowing 28 roads there. Installed head walls at three large culverts, patched five locations. Installed one county road name sign, four curb sign, one reflector, no speed limit signs, and one stop sign. Repaired one CMP, didn't replace for installing new ones. Swept 11 roads behind us when we was paving. Brush at seven locations, proved freezing. I'm going to try to focus on keeping the tree trimming and mowing going best we can while we're still chip sealing. All the rain.
Got a motion to accept the road and bridge report from Commissioner Basham, second from Commissioner Matthews. Any further discussion on item number six? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number seven is to consider plat of Rock Creek Road subdivision. Mr. Mannix.
Yes, Judge. This is a tier two subdivision. Three lots, averaging 1.4 acres per lot along Rock Creek Road, which is a road that's off Old Osage Road. I requested that they give us 25 foot from the center of the road across the front of the property. They did do that. Also told them that they needed to, because there's a draw in there, they needed to put the OSSF setback line on that. They also provide that on the plat. They pretty much did everything in their checklist. I think they're pretty good to go.
I make a motion to accept Rock Creek Road 17.
Second.
Got a motion to accept the Rock Creek Road subdivision from Commissioner Basham, second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number seven? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number eight is to consider exception to platting for property ID number 153664. Mr. Mannix.
Yes, this one, we caught this one because it they came in with a separate permit. They had sold off 2 acres out of this 5 acres ranch, along 5 acres. They have already sold the 2 acres off. So per our regulations, they're supposed to plat it. They thought they were selling it to family. Turns out it was his grandson's in-law, which isn't really his family. It's his grandson's family. Anyway, he's asking for an exception to the planning. Looks like it's going to be just a one-time deal. Off County Road 311, I don't know if I said that.
Okay.
See any issues or problems with this?
I do not.
They may be related in the third degree of content. Where did the shot? Very little empty. I'll be trying to draw a picture. Yeah, the third degree of content. When the grandson then laws by marriage or affinity. Be close. Maybe a degree off, though. I don't know. It's too early in the morning for it, but.
We're supposed to get ahead of
intercepted.
Yeah. And I'll do something with all those piles and what appears to be construction debris you can see from the sky on the cat. They're going to be visible. Little skinny redheaded color. So Mike, have a little visit with him about that before he gets there.
Well, should we just table this?
Okay. I make the motion, the exception to plat for property ID number 153664.
Motion to approve the exception to platting for ID 153664 from Commissioner Basham.
Second.
Second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number 8? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 9 is discussion on platting in the ETJ.
Yes, Judge. Mr. Leff and I talked about this, and he thought we needed to bring it before y'all. Apparently, I have not seen a executed ETJ agreement, but apparently COVID agreed with our ETJ agreement because they sent over a plat stating that they were no longer charged with the ETJ, that the county handles it. He's already done two phases. Per our regulations, if you're under one acre, you're supposed to curb and gutter it, but he's not going to want to do that because he wants it to match everything that he's already done. Understandable. There's some other issues like COVID allowed him to put the utilities in the right way, which we require him to be in the utility easement.
Which this is not just a one-time thing. There's going to be a few of these down there we need to be aware of that had adhered to code standards in some of these areas, and their continued phase is on. So the streets are going to look different, the curb will look different. That's probably going to be a concern of some of the developers, and this has not been submitted yet. We just kind of wanted to get you guys aware of it, you know, be thinking about how you want to handle that and address it when that comes up. It's mainly where they look the same, like some of these subdivisions down there, they might, you know, somebody owns a lot of them, they just do 20 houses at a time and they just keep growing back into their property. And all of a sudden you go from one set of specs in the front and then say phase 2 or 3 is going to look totally different drainage styles, different requirements, and just the difference between the county and the city. So just kind of wanted to get ahead of it so we're not delaying a developer or something when it comes along. Mainly just for information for you guys to be thinking about how y'all want to handle that when that time comes. I guess a couple things we looked at there was we have curb and gutter when you get underneath a certain size pot. Like code requires that. There may be potentially a little different road widths than some of it. Utility easements, ours are different than theirs.
They got 10 foot, we got 15 foot. So they got 10 foot across the front of the property, we got 15 foot all the way around the property.
Yeah. Just kind of things to be considered. This will come up in the future.
I think the main thing is going to be the width of the road.
Well, it's
from there.
No, I mean, it's not quite that simple, Mr. Taylor. It's they require asphalt.
Well, he put asphalt. Actually, his width was longer provided than what being required.
Right. But we do not really want utilities
in
the right way. And I believe COE's current regulations allow that. They just put them in the bar ditch or.
Right.
Yeah,
water
yeah, the electric source was in the water line. So I would anticipate some variances or something to be addressed there.
I got ranch probably the easiest one to deal with all of them. The developers we've various worked with in the past. And I actually brought the first place, we got a ranch on match. It was under our regulations. When the ETJ got there,
yeah, but wasn't that thing part?
Two regulations back.
No,
so we've even had changes.
Yeah.
But none of it's got, none of it's got curb gutter down through there. None of ground branch has curb gutter, so.
I guess as these issues come up, do I need to bring board forward for variance request? I mean,
well, that'd be an official, I mean, it'll be a phase one flat, so it'll come full court anyway. So, well, do it all at one time. One other thing, bring the flat with the variance list on there.
Right.
It's just not going to be a whole lot of variances. It's just going to be, some of it is going to be little stuff, but well, it's going to be little written on there, but it's going to make a big difference. To,
if we're moving.
Y'all need to think what Mr. Mannix would like to know is, if, so I think Mr. Mannix's position is going to be water line that's got to go out of our, get out of our right way. That's a no. There's no pushing on that.
Right.
We can make the road width work. We can make the shoulder work or match. We can make other things match and work just fine. But we're going to be pretty non-negotiable on getting water line out of our ditch.
Yeah.
I think it's what he's asking. If y'all want to just, I think he probably has our best interest at heart. So, but he just needs a little backup from y'all that y'all. Y'all are on board with that plan.
Yeah, I think we
over
the power poles
to kind of work with them.
Too. The power poles in the right way?
No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. But them having the water, right? Ain't that big deal. You can't see it after it's in there. And we won't hit it on both sides of the fence.
Yeah, and I believe you went off river here. Once you drop below that acre, that curb to gutter, that actually narrows the right way. Kind of regulation stuff that allows them to.
Yes.
Yes. I don't know what's going to do. You know, the intent was when we most of it was not as far as anything. You got a curb to gutter, they're going to be parking on the streets a little bit wider road with smaller right of way, so they're not giving up as much land as their development. But some developers like that, some don't. But I think the main concern will be matching the phases somewhat best we can do there. Curb appeal or
yeah.
You know, road appeal is what the term.
Have you seen a copy of that back signed by Pepper's Cove?
I have not. I forwarded our executed signature page to them, and I have not seen anything back from them.
That's what I thought they were supposed to be talking about. I didn't think they're seeing that back.
But I do have email traffic.
Maybe coming back. Their Cove development office responded to my email the other day that the report from the people just. So I had a comment about their that's like, well, you can take that up with them directly with your armor.
And anticipate one other question we'll have is how does Cove, they don't require bonds, but they issue a certificate.
They might go finish it over there before they approve it, right?
Yes. Is there any mechanism for us to be able to do that, or how does that?
Just hold it. We vote for agree. That's not what the regulations say. That's what the law says.
Some of the developers like that better than the bond, and some of them know about there that have been used to doing that. So that would be, that's probably going to be one question I would anticipate coming.
I know that will become. Yes, being with it, I think that's kind of the way he's.
That's the way they like to do it.
That's the way they've always done it. If anyone will sell anything, he was done anyway. They want people to wait, we just want them to get done on his schedule.
Yeah.
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 Judge, if you, I haven't seen any traffic on it in a long time, but you know, we had that discussion about the, I guess it's China Glass, and that is it Tilson Homes development that comes up there now all the way to whichever one of those roads runs north and south, China Glass.
Yeah, I don't know who the developer is, but I know what you're talking about.
So we got them to agree, that developer agreed to stub out a road into that old right-of-way of glass. I'm pretty sure it's glass that comes north and south there. And we had, 100 years ago, an old right-of-way up through there. You know, and Cove ISD now has bought that glass mountain property there that's off of China. It comes to the old right-of-way of glass, which runs into Kempner Wedgewood or something like that. It's a dedicated road, but it never has been accepted by the county because it never was built out. But there are houses all down. And it dead ends in the one end of the old glass right away, and on the other end into Mr. Hitt's property. That's Riata Ranch. And so that was my email to them the other day, was about, you know, remember we talked about this? We need to try to tie these roads, you know, because I don't have much of a vote, but I think that it would behoove everybody in that community, especially if Cove ISD builds a school back in there, if there was a way for those people to get to China and Glass without having to come out on 116, down to Luther Church, up Luther Church. But I don't, you know, we talked about trying to work with them on a master plan on some of those roadways down there. I'm not sure they're overly interested, but I'm still interested. I still think it needs to happen. And I know you feel the same way I do. We've talked about it before. I just don't know what we would do to give them the. Because, like that Tilson deal, if I wouldn't have sent them an email about it, they wouldn't have done it. They had no intentions of doing it. They were just rolling on. I don't know what this, I mean, obviously, they just don't care. I don't know. I think Ryan cares. I don't know, he just got 200 of our own.
I think they do care, but maybe from their development department, wasn't as high of a priority as we would like it to be. At this point, and I can't recall, but is Glass, have they annexed that ISD property?
Well, I don't say they annexed. So now they own Lutheran Church Road all the way to the church along that old cricket place. I think that I saw a while back that they were moving forward with cricket track, to the big place.
Yeah.
And so but then when you get to the other side of the right of way on Lutheran Church Road, from Glass to, well, all the way down to the church road, north side of the road, it's all still ours. For sure. I hadn't seen anything on it.
They had the one on Summers on their agenda 3 months ago, the west of Summers. I said north, but it's west of Summers.
So I sent them a message a while back about Summer Road is they wanted us to work on it. And
yeah.
I told them we were not working on it, that they were required to annex that portion of the roadway that bordered their city limits under the law. Mr. Haverlaw asked, somebody completed Mr. Haverlaw asked that I send him that statute, and I did. I never heard back from nobody about it. But I advise my client not to work on that road.
Which now we're not in their local agreement. But they were supposed to work on that.
Yeah.
They need that money. Yeah, they need that
money. Some of that can be fouled there. Ground
control. Yeah.
So we're fixing to reseal that.
Yeah.
Well, at this point, and it's not going to get resolved today,
no.
But at this point, I think it's in our best interest to come up with a plan of what we're willing to do to make those roads. Because I don't think that City of Coppers Cove has a, you know, vested dedicated interest in doing that. I don't think we're in a position to incentivize a developer to come in and do it. So if we're going to make that situation more tenable for current and future, I think it's going to be incumbent upon the county to take some action to make that happen. And what all those actions involve, I don't know. But I think to make that happen, to get that where it's not going to be a future problem, we would have to take some action.
So they bought behind the church, the school then?
Yes, they bought
west of Wedgwood.
North of China. They buy that whole track. They bought 26.05 acres north of China.
Mm-hmm.
It's north of China, runs out to Lutheran Church, up there towards the church. Yeah, it comes borders then. So they didn't buy all of that Glass Mountain track. R.A.K. Realty Holdings still owns a pretty good chunk of that. 82 acres of that.
Yeah.
There. Now, I don't know if that's, let's see, what it is.
So China runs east and west, and Glass runs north and south.
Yes. And it goes up there, but it used to go,
Wedgwood.
I'm sure before FM-116 existed, it ran all the way up there, turned, and it actually went around. It went to that piece of property up there.
Went all the way up. Yes, and all the past.
It had run up through there somewhere. You used to be able to see it on the CAD or something. Big screen, and I can zoom in a little bit. I don't know if you'll see it, but the Wedgwood, it is dead ends on both ends and the property lines. This Wedgwood Drive right here, this is his property right here that he's fixing to develop. Him to right here. Here's Wedgwood, it dead ends right there into this track, kind of up into that track. This track, the piece and bounce, they're exactly lined up with lines. But here's Glass right here. This is actually kind of maintained Glass Road right here. It used to go all the way up through here, make the turn, and come over here. There used to be an old home place right there. You can see where it used to be there.
Which in that was, I believe, we looked that up years ago. That was actually dedicated out. It was not just right away. It was a dedication of.
Yeah, I mean, it was the. I don't know how many years ago it's been. As you can see the CAD's got it drawn off all the way up to here. They've got it lined out. They've got it showing it that it's over right away.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen all those dams. See Creekside Hills Boulevard now out to the line there.
Yeah.
If they left a little strip there. So all that is in the city limits now. That over there. It's over here, which isn't BGJ, but it's now. Well, see, Cove ISD's track is going to come out over here. The city limits already comes to up here to this Kriegel track, or this Kriegel track, if it's on up here. City limits runs up Lutheran Church Road to this spot right here.
Oh, I've seen that they already donated a few Kriegel property in the
Yeah, they don't have an update on the CAD yet. At
least a few months back, don't tell me if you're not.
But Judge, I agree with you. The City of Cove is not going to do anything to upgrade the last road, deal with finding any Wedgwood over there. That's
how far is it?
from the agenda.
Pulls off that bridge, whatever the backs out of it, Mr. Coates.
Yeah. So 7,732. But it's 2,700 feet.
You might have walked through the town.
Yeah, they cleaned it up a little bit. You can see where they're going to drive up in there a little ways now. We're just going to pay attention on this RAK development. We go up to their track and make sure that we get, of course, now it'll be, they'll have to send it to us. Unless they do a annexation agreement with the City of Cove, which they may very well do, to get sewer.
Yeah.
And I bet it, you know, of course, it's probably been the same boat, probably in Kemper Waters convenience area. So they'll probably have to work all that out again, too. But it's coming.
See, there used to be another road. They came around by the church and tied in Wedgwood over there. That property, if I believe that whether it are RAK holding or whatever, that probably was for sale for years because there wasn't a clear access point to.
Well, and see, the CAD calls it Glass Road all the way around, but apparently that mountain there behind the church is called Glass Mountain. The church owns it now, all that area there. But
you can, looking on the aerial, you can see going by the church, there was a county road there that kind of went around the base of the mountain, made a square, and tied in with what we're showing is Wedgwood Glass, kind of right in there.
Patton Williams still have to use that for access. They've got no other way to get to their property. They have to come up that road there to get to their property. Long days in the church, probably.
Some of my older foremen have already retired, but they remember blading that back in the 90s. Blading some of that up in there.
Well, Doug, if you've got any pull down there to talk to those folks and make sure they got it on their radar to let us know if and when they get any movement on some of that property around there. People talking to them about annexing it or developing it. It sure would be nice to know so we would have a little input before we find out about it after the fact. As you know, the ISD is going to, if the ISD does anything, they're going to have to be on city sewer and they're going to annex that. Which would be fine. That's because as soon as they do that, they're going to inherit China.
They're eating there.
I would think they'd want to build a new road through there. but
the road turns into a creek then.
I know. Yeah.
I mean, we got a huge culvert about this big. Yeah. It goes all that water on the map. So. Very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do with that track if that swell comes right through the way. Mm-hmm. SD track. I'm sure they got to get it all figured out.
If it's like their bus barn, we'll blow it down the road right back onto us because that section of Summers was us and finally their bus barn. And just when it rains, it all comes out there.
That's right. What are those pigs? I don't
know. Sorry, Judge. Conversation with your race.
So going back to your comment about that area is, I think it would be in our best interest to devise and develop what we think that plan should look like.
Really that area down there, even if we just took it upon ourselves to start building a through road, it would relieve all of those dead end subdivisions.
It ties a lot of that together. But again, it would involve, you know, working with the ISD, because you need to look at squaring off that connection into Lutheran Church, because you're coming right off of a corner, and I don't know what that distance is, but, you know, taking a page out of the TxDOT playbook, you know, we need to square that off, extend that all the way through into that the backside of that subdivision, anticipating that there's going to be some acquisition of property that we need to go in there, because we need to make that not as a rural residential road, but more as a collector. Yeah.
Cove has it now, but that corner right there on Luther Church Road,
mm-hmm.
we're widening it. We used to widen it. Part is we get 8L. We widened a little more. Then the H brace got run over. So we quit widening it. Lots of traffic.
You're talking about the second curve when it turns back to the west?
Yeah, right there at the curve.
Right.
Like they've actually hit right. that on that creeper property.
Right.
So we'll be able to hopefully clean it up when they flat that up.
They can deal with them four wheelers over there, I think.
Yeah. Like four wheelers, by the horses.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else to cover under item number 9? Okay. Moving on to item number 10, updates and action on grants to include but not limited to, and we'll start out with SS4A. I believe we're in the process of getting that application resubmitted. Did not get an update from Mr. Manning prior to the meeting, but I believe that's where we stand is based off of their debriefing from last year, they're rewriting to make ours a little bit more competitive.
Because I think Joy and Cody, and or Cody may be on Zoom to speak on that. My recollection is that the rules have changed with new administration, mm-hmm. and that application is going to be modified somewhat. But they obviously don't know how back up might be.
Morning, Judge Miller.
Good morning.
Morning. I know I've had the opportunity to meet a few of you, but for those of you I haven't, I'm Cody Acevedo here at the Natural Resource Solutions Austin office, and I've got Joy Nicolopoulos here, and we're going to give you a quick update and answer some of those questions for you.
So, Judge Miller, this is Joy. For the SS4A, this year's application, as you know, we did not get funded for the 2024 application. We, after some feedback from DOT, are going to change up the application to focus more heavily on demonstration activities. And those are the specific audits for pedestrian crossing, sidewalks, bike lanes, road striping, curve improvements, and education materials. It still has a 20% cost share match. It's a non-federal cost share that can also be in kind. So last year's total application was about $15.24 million. This year, if we switch categories to demonstration activities, our maximum will be $5 million, and that's the least competitive pot is the demonstration activities. So that's what our plan is, to switch over to the demonstration activities, and our budget that we would apply for would be somewhere in the $5 million range, again, with a 20% cost share match.
Joy, Cody, thank you for the update on that. And that's the demonstration projects. Can you run down that list of what we're going to include in that one more time?
You betcha. The audits are for pedestrian crossings, sidewalks, bike lanes, road striping, curve improvements, and education materials. So what we had to do is we had to take out the 8 stream crossing improvements that we had in the implementation grant from last year. When we had our readout with DOT, they actually expressed that stream crossing improvements were not really part of safe streets for all activities and suggested that we look at demonstration activities. So we would need to take those out.
Okay.
You get on that. Pedestrian crossing, sidewalks, driving.
Road stopping, education, bike lanes.
And Judge, that application is due June 26th.
Okay. Joey, Cody, again, thank you for the update on that. Any do we foresee any issues with trying to get the or meeting the June 26th timeline?
No, sir. We're just scaling back the budget right now to fall within that $5 million cap.
Okay. Nope, that sounds great. Any questions for Joey or Cody concerning the resubmission on the SS4A under the demonstration projects? All right, thank y'all. Anything else to cover under SS4A?
I'm looking at a couple of the faces. I mean, obviously the Copper's Cove, Gatesville, but pedestrian crossings, sidewalks, striping, bike lanes, and education. How does that fall within the county? I mean, other than education, since they took out the streams and low water crossings, is what we were going after. I mean, where would we?
Where would we spend money?
I don't think we have any bike lanes. I guess I should have asked them the question. Yeah, we're changing this category, but we, unless somebody has magic of where we're going to utilize that money.
All these things were included in our previous application.
Right.
Basically.
Yeah.
And so my recollection of going back to reading it is like the backlines, particularly it was the research and see if it was something that was needed or something that could or should have been. It wasn't the actual
construction. This is all research and planning.
Presentation and demonstrations.
Yes.
So like and I don't know if Joey or Cody would have to answer this question, if like striping, if that actually does get road striped, or if that is just
the bicycle lane
research and decide whether or not it roadways, whether it would be a safety improvement to do that. And then if it was, my understanding is, but certainly could be corrected, is that presentation, the planning grant, as they call it, planning grant, is strictly that. It's research, development, presentation, demonstration, and based on those results, then you apply for implementation funds. That's my understanding.
I don't know. I think so too. I just don't see where it.
That's your understanding, Judge? No. So he actually builds bike lanes and stripes roads?
That's what the demonstration projects, I believe. And Joy and Cody, if y'all can help answer this question, the difference between planning grant versus demonstration projects grant versus the implementation portion of the grant. That
so you're both correct, Judge. You and Brandon are both correct. The application from last year were for audits for those projects to see where they would be placed. This year, we could also include a demonstration pilot project. For example, if we found a high priority sidewalk that we wanted to do a pilot project on, it would have to be a temporary project. It could not be permanent. So demonstration activities have to be temporary in nature. Striping can occur, but it has to be temporary. And we would only pick a pilot project. So the majority of these projects are the audits for the demonstration activities to figure out where they're needed. First of all, if they're needed, where they're needed, what the highest priority would be. Then, as Brandon said, you would apply for an implementation grant to actually conduct those activities.
I just don't see if that's going to benefit this county. You do need backline on 128. Eventually, I'll get out there.
What?
Occasionally.
You know, to, from a realistic standpoint, right? The one, and look, I'm going to say this collectively as a group. The one ding we really got that I saw from the CPA was lack of grant administration, lack of follow-up, lack of, you know, whatever. So, you know, we only have so much bandwidth to go after certain grants because this is still going to cause work on Mr. Belt.
Causing work on Mr. Belt. Mr. Belt's the administration business.
Well, you see what I'm saying? That be why? I mean, I get it. Somebody else is going to get this money. You know, so we do this. We hire a consultant, which I see a lot of these grants just as another money grab to hire consultants. Just an opinion by Commissioner Weddle there. So we get it. And, you know, we got road and bridge here. You know, do you want to maintain sidewalks? And right. I mean, sidewalks, striping, bike lanes, pedestrian crossings. I don't think we have a single one of those that the county currently maintains, correct?
We don't have the right of way support any of that.
I don't understand why we're applying for it even now.
Well, that might be odd. That doesn't, I mean, I can see like a Harris County or something, you're down there.
Even
your roads are right there in town, but this county, I don't see where it benefits us to even.
This is really built for cities.
To apply for this.
Yeah, I'm just.
At the low water crossing stadium.
Right.
Yeah,
that was what we.
That's one reason I was really interested in. Because we have several of them that need a lot of help. But if they took them out, then that's the only way we could spend the money.
And I know we can always turn a grant down, but that never looks, you know, good. And so then we got a 20% match to go out and do this study, this, and it may be one demonstration project of a bike lane on your road. I'm not seeing the validity of this particular grant for us.
Maybe we can put sidewalks on Wedgewood, bicycle lanes down there. Tighten it up.
We don't need one of
them. I know that. I get calls from one particular lady down there a lot. And I will today.
Maybe.
Later.
If there is not an interest in applying for this grant, we need to let NRS know right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't need to waste their time.
That was kind of my,
you know, doing that. Now, to that extent.
Since the last commission report meeting, they found out that the rules had changed and that they were having to shift gears. This has just happened the last recent week.
Now, I think.
We'll talk about it today. It definitely the gears have changed.
Where, you know, and again, I do agree that, you know, we kind of had this all rolled into a much larger grant that included the low water crossings in it. And I believe, as you know, best my recollection was, these other five areas that we had included in there were more as a side benefit to Evant, Oglesby, Gainesville, Jonesboro, Coppers Cove, because it would have given them a tool to then assess what their, you know, needs are. Not that we're going to go build, you know, pedestrian crossings, because I concur. We don't have, you know, very few, if any, pedestrian crossing areas on strictly county roads. So other than education, the majority of those things would be beneficial to cities and school districts.
That's 5 foot, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, thank you, baby. So, see, I don't think the county still benefit enough to do the study. My opinion.
The only thing I think we would benefit from if we can, I don't know what the chances are, because it would definitely reduce the amount of the application, would be the early warning systems for the flood, for the overtopping of the low water problems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've talked about that quite a lot in different settings, but someday in life, surely to goodness, we're going to figure out a way to fund, you know, something on all these low water crossings with a flashing yellow light or an automatic arm that goes down. You know, but, you know, I will touch our board. I mean, I was going down County Road in Bexar County one time and come to a spot that this part of Marketville was closed because the water was surging on top of it. So I had to go around what Siri told me. And I got down there down at County Road, and there's a little, just a little plastic red and white arm, but it's got a big flashing yellow light and an arm down across the road because there was water down across the road. And if we could get some funds to do something to move forward on getting that accomplished someday in life, I think that there is some benefit to the county of doing that. And I don't know how many projects we've talked about or applications we've filed to try to get that funded. So far, I think we've been relatively unsuccessful, but I think that there is some benefit to, you know, some point you're going to get tired of listening to us, and, you know, we're going to get another. But that's the part of the, and I'm pretty sure that's in here somewhere in this SS4A presentation demonstration deal. I don't know if that's worth pursuing in this scenario.
It's in this move. Rules and regulations, ladies.
I can't answer that question. I don't know.
What they were going to do is not.
Well, no, replacement. We had money in here for construction for replacement of low water crossings.
Right, but they took it out.
The replacement of low water crossings, yes. But
not the
identity. I don't know about the
warning or
right. If we could apply for, even if it was a planning and implementation grant, planning grant for audit, I think is what she called it, of how many we got, how many, how much traffic comes to them, what the rate of overtopping is, what the benefit would be to the county of having some kind of system. And then once we've got that audit report, then we could apply for an implementation grant to put all those things in, put all the little arms and all the flashing lights in.
Well, I understand if that's in there, but from
I don't know
what I would gather from them.
I think that the audit portion of that's still in there, but I don't know. We haven't seen the new and improved
rules and regulations.
Right. I don't know. But yeah. I think the audit portion was still qualified.
For the low water crossing warning stuff.
Yes. The audit portion of that, yes, I think it was still qualified.
To see if you needed to work that.
Yeah. But I agree with Commissioner Weddle. Just standalone project looking at bike lanes and striping and those kind of things. I mean, we don't have our roads are not wide enough to put stripes on. If you put a stripe down the middle of it, everybody would be running over the stripe all the
time. Driving
the stripe, yes. I mean, it'd be a good line to follow. Needed some direction.
That'd be good for our DWI guys.
It'd be a good line, you know, good one to follow on the way home. But I mean, it would be some benefit to it.
Well, and I'll just go back to our bandwidth. You know, things we're going to concentrate on. SS, Safer Streets, who's the ultimate? Is it HUD? Is it?
Federal Highway Safety is my direct way.
Yeah.
Fed,
who we started with.
Yeah, Fed Transportation, whatever their acronym is.
And, you know, having now gone through this for 2.5, almost 3 years, I've come to realize that with our limited bandwidth, we seem to have better results or quicker results from grants that come from the state where they control versus where we have a federal entity where we have to jump through all these hoops and wait 3.5 years and all of that. I mean, just, you know, my observation. So if we're going to go after grants, I think you just got to be really selective, because we just don't have somebody to watch over them all the time. I would say we call NRS off on this. That's my opinion. I just think it would be a waste of their bandwidth too.
I mean, if the safety portion of the arms or flashing lights or signage for low water crossing coming up is in there still, then I can see it.
Even, I mean, gauges.
But I would.
Most of ours don't even have the.
Yeah, but I would stress that in that portion of it, you know, over a backline, you know.
But that's the only thing in my mind that would benefit us in the county. Is something to do with the low water crossing one way or the other. All the stuff they listed, I don't see us. I know Commissioner Matthews wants one on his road. He's got to get a faster motorcycle.
Longer lane.
Well, that ain't why.
Booster.
What about the Golden Creeks? Those things are pretty, they're with me.
You got a bicycle where you can have myself, and they said they're not doing low water crossing. And about 5 of them need to be done.
Can we find out whether that's in there? Do they know?
Oh, yes, Joy knows. I'm sure Joy knows what's in there.
I mean, that would answer my question if that low water crossing stuff was delivered. I don't have a problem going forward with it, but if it's not in there, then it doesn't benefit the county, in my opinion, unless somebody can change it. My opinion, that is.
Joy, did you hear the question that the commissioners have?
Yes, if the low water crossing safety mechanisms such as flashing lights and arms were already in the 2024 application, they were not, since we put in for implementation funds to redo those 8 crossings. It would be appropriate to include audits for low water crossing safety mechanisms. We could focus on those, and that would be brand new, but I don't think we would have much of a problem meeting the deadline if we put those new low water crossing safety applications in there as audits.
Thank you.
So it comes down to, let's see, there's no cost for the application. Is that correct?
It's covered under our previous agreement with
them. So no cost to apply for it. And it's the old joke, you know, the dog that chases the car, what does he do when he catches it? Say we get 2 million and then we got to do 20%, you know, match, you know, on that. Is that worth it to us to tell us where we need crossing arms? The thing that I see is in the end, and this is what we've been sold several times, is you got to have these plans. You got to have these plans. You got to have these plans. Well, we get the plans, hazard mitigations and others, but show me the money. You know, show me the money that we're actually going to get to use to do work, not plans. I'm sorry. We've got a lot of plans. We just don't have a whole lot of money for work, which is what we need. And I think every commissioner in this room could say, well, yeah, this is where we need a load. You know, this is where we need an arm. We need a consultant to tell us where we need these arms, where we need flashing lights, not where we need them. We need them.
Yeah.
Sorry.
If it's too late to implement them in that grant, then I don't see the need in moving forward with it. But that's really what we need. Not
We could come up with a list and, well, I don't know how
sometimes. That man sitting right on board already got a list.
Yeah, it's, we need the money to put them in.
Anyway. They have to go out at 2 o'clock in the morning and put the signs up on it, so they know where they're all at.
And so the previous application, last time that was granted, there was 8 locations for stream crossing signs and stationary flood gauges, and there were 3 crossings that were going to be improved. So that was our application last time. We had designated 8. I'm sure they've got numbers on here. I'm sure there's some of the bigger, higher traffic ones.
Stationary signage, that's not, is that not the arm that's coming down, or is that just?
Yeah, there were 3 structures that were going to be replaced or improved, and there were 8 that were going to have the signs and stationary flood gates, stream crossing signs and stationary flood gates. Exactly what exactly those are going to look like. There's a narrative here. Mr. Wells said, get $2 million grant. So 100% cost match.
Yep.
$400,000 for my math. $400,000 to put in a lot of those ourselves. Be done with it.
Yep. Tell us where to put them. That's what I was kind of running through my head going. You know, I like the idea of a gauge and a flashing light versus an arm, because the arm fails, then we get blamed for it. Probably constantly having to be out there maintaining those and
people driving through.
Well, yeah, or just coming down randomly. You know, that's sometimes the anyway. Yeah, I think that $400,000, we could come up with our own plan for that. Anyway, I would say, just based on what I know today, because this was brought, all this information was brought to light to me today. I would say it would be a waste of time for the county, probably a waste of time for NRS. I'd rather them be working on something
to actually, beneficial.
Yeah.
And we know this Leon Cowhouse flood project that they're doing, does that have any kind of safety in it?
I still think that's a study, but I mean, we don't have any control over it. I mean, I guess you have influence over it, but it's nothing really tied to the game.
I think you're correct, Sebastian. I think there will be opportunities through that project, through spin-offs of that project, to solve the main problem that we could solve through the SS4A going forward. That probably will go through the outfits that are more amenable to dealing with us.
My issue is, I've, you know, kind of took the one of myself, they took the low water cross, but I think we need something for some of the school bus drivers and on their routes. You know, they know if that, you know, water to Leon, you know, so it's right there, especially on 321, was the doubt we're at, you know.
Oh, if we could just do a common sense, right? So I'm thinking, well, man, you just put a float gauge down there, you set it at a certain height, it clicks on. It's a go, no go. It says, oh, hey, it's time to turn on this flashing light. Now it's a little flashing light up top of each of the sides of the low water crossing. Who knows? And how much could that cost with a little Aggie engineering? But
one of the problems with all these are going to be maintenance. So
right.
People stealing them.
Yep. Stealing having, batteries.
Having the right way to do them.
Well, we can't fix that element.
But my personal opinion is no need for them. Put them in the bad spots, be done with them.
think we're going to chase our tail, spend more maintenance money on the $74 crawler and do that for all of them.
Right.
We don't put plug gauges on them because most of them are too narrow. Farmers knock them down when they go through their plows. I mean, you got a 12-foot wide low water cross and 14-foot wide, they drag grain drill through there. They're gone.
Yep.
That's why some of the bridges don't even have guardrails on them. They rip guardrails off. I mean,
dang.
I say we just shut it down.
I've made my opinion clear. I say no.
Thank you.
Somebody will put that in a form of a motion so we can vote on it, so I can then move forward letting NRS know what the desires of this court are.
I make a motion that Coryell County does not proceed with the application for SS4A funds for, would that be 2025, I guess?
Okay.
Can we refer to that as this funding cycle?
Okay, this funding cycle.
Is that?
Okay. That come with multiple years.
They're currently
open that we're closing.
On June, yeah.
So
I think SS4A is open. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's clear enough to the court that there is a motion to do not apply for SS4A under the current NOFO that closes June 26th. From Commissioner Weddle, and I believe the second was from Commissioner Matthews. Any further discussion on that motion for SS4A? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. So Joy, to tie all this together, we do not, Coryell County does not wish to submit an application under the current NOFO.
Thank you, Judge. Got it.
Thank you. Okay. Anything else to cover under A? Item number B. I don't have anything to update on that. Item number C. I've got nothing to update you on right now. D, CDBG MIT, I do not have anything to update you on right now.
Can we get back up to C?
Yes.
The RCP, sorry, I was looking and I saw CDBG when I was looking at C.
Okay.
So is there anybody from MRB on the Zoom?
I don't see anyone, no.
So I filed our monthly report last week, even though I said I wasn't filing more than for RCP, because Brooke reached out to me the day before it was due about getting together about what needed to be done. And I was in College Station at the 4-H Roundup with my youngest child that day, I'm pretty sure. So anyway, I don't know what day that was, but I had to on Thursday come to work. So at some point I just filed it. It was just quicker and easier. So I'm supposed to get with her one day this week about what she needs to do, which amazes me because they're supposed to be the ones that know what to do. So continue my frustration, FYI.
Okay, well, I reached out to her.
Yeah,
and
I could tell.
And she responded, if it wasn't that day, it was the next day. I mean, it was timely. And said yes, she understood that that was their responsibility and that that they would take care of that.
I had that exact same conversation.
Yeah, so
the day after the court, I contacted her.
My email says, good afternoon, what date is the monthly report due on? Question mark. So
okay.
2 days before it was due. The third,
the day I was in College Station. I was back in College Station on the 4th, but I went ahead and filed the report still when it was due because I didn't have time to deal with it during those 2 days. To meet by a team to discuss the reporting and process with somebody that's supposed to know the reporting process is supposed to be a grant administrator. I am not. Our monthly report was filed timely. Someday when I have time, I'm going to visit with her about taking that over.
Okay. Anything else to address?
When that happens, I believe that our progress on the RCP program is going to come to more of a screeching halt than it is already at. We are never going to successfully complete our task under that grant if something doesn't change rapidly. That's all I have to say about the RCP, Judge. Thank you.
Okay.
This is too worried. No RCPs.
All right, moving on to D, which is the CDBG MIT. And I'll reiterate that I have not got anything to update under that. Item number E, DR 4781. I thought we had a real good meeting last week. Category A and Category B, which those two combined is a little over $100,000, is at the review level at FEMA. Those have been verified and sent up. Category C has a pretty significant amount of work under the 100% complete category. And I think we're trying to get that finished and sent up as we continue to work on the water crossings, culverts, and the road damage that still remains. Part of that requires some engineering. And I believe we're going to be submitting under mitigation. There's still some due outs on when we will completely close out or be able to wrap up all of Category C, other than that work that we have done in-house already, and those projects are complete. Questions on 4781? Okay. Leon Cowhouse Flood Project.
Yeah, no, sorry, too far back from 71. I don't
have another
deal on here about the state action plan, the GLO money that's going to be, that we may have access to apply for some funds through.
That GLO sent out an email and they're looking for, I mean, best I can tell, feedback on their distribution plan for statewide funding for the severe weather events under 4781. So right now what we're dealing with under 4781 is the public assistance that Corio County qualifies for the flood events in last May. But there is additional funding that is statewide managed funding that is not specifically designated for us, that under their distribution plan we would have access to. And I believe that they are in the public comment phase of that. But I have not read through that completely. Does that answer what you were?
Yes, I didn't know exactly what was going on. I just knew that there was something that came out on that. And so, you going to come in on that for?
Yes.
So tell them that we are our comment. We're interested.
Yeah.
You got some funny words.
Okay. And I don't want to run down a rabbit trail, but I'll kind of reiterate when we're talking about CDBG MIT. That came out of hurricane and flood events in 15 and 16. Okay. The state wrote up what their distribution plan was. And they received public comment on it, sent it up to the federal government. Federal government said, okay. Federal government then later on came back and said, nope, it's not okay. So they rewrote their distribution plan and they sent it up. And the federal government said, okay. And then the federal government later on came back and said, not okay. So they rewrote it and they sent it up a third time. They did three submissions, and that's where we finally got our funding under CDBG MIT. I have no reason to believe that the process is going to be any more efficient for 4781 as it was for the events in 15 and 16. So, yes, we'll follow along. But I don't think there's going to be anything significant that we will have access to initially. I would anticipate that it is going to be HUD-related, you know, which gets into a lot of housing construction kind of things, which doesn't so much apply to Coryell County. But I will have more information on that when I look at what their plan is. But they sent that email last week.
You might have pulled in that thing, Judge. I was just curious what they had. So
I'll send it to you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Let me as well, please, sir.
You bet. Okay. So one more time, anything on 4781? Okay. All right. So Leon Cowhouse Flood Project. ACF and Blackland will be holding a briefing on June 27th at 9 a.m. We will be hosting that in this room on their behalf. It is not a meeting of the Commissioner's Court. It is a briefing from ACF and Blackland, and they will send out an invite list to those individuals that they think are have been active participants, you know, as stakeholders.
That is the 27th of June.
I'm going to double check my calendar. It's that Friday.
Yes, sir. It is Friday.
Okay, that is, yes, Friday, June 27th.
At 9 a.m.
9 a.m. Okay, anything else to cover under item number 10? Okay. Item number 11 is discuss and review the current county budget. I believe Commissioner Weddle had asked for this item.
Sure. Thank you, Mike. Sure. Yeah, this was just as much as an exercise, you know, for me. So thank you, Mr. Wood, for preparing it. And thank you, Lisa. I think everybody got a copy, which is great. You know, just bottom line, my opinion is it looks like we're doing very well. I didn't see any, you know, outliers like we had last year. You know, we should be at 66.7%. And I think I had the general fund at 60.9, you know, currently. So in my heart of world of good to see that we're actually running along. There's, you know, you could sit there and I highlighted, you know, anywhere in red that is, you know, over, but a lot of them are self-explanatory. Like hardware under the IT was quite a bit over, but, you know, some of the other stuff was under, and the overall, to me, the overall was good. So really, that was it. I just wanted everybody to I think it's good. We don't get these copies very often, and I'm sure we will reference this as we start the budget process.
Okay, any other questions, comments from the court? Mr. Taylor, anything?
No.
Mr. Basham? Okay. All right. Very good. We'll move on to item number 13, which is to pay bills. We've had bills presented in the amount of $1,020,215.96. Got a motion to pay bills from Commissioner Matthews, second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number 13? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Reports, Commissioner Matthews.
Again, this looks like a pretty good turnout. I helped them a little bit. I did 274. I don't know who's that. 274. Got a call from a family member. But anyway, I've already forwarded it over to Buster. There's a bad corner in there. There's a bunch of brush drawn up. Send it to.
I got a call to him.
Okay.
And then
I'll give it to you.
And then I left a message and I haven't received a phone call back.
So I'll send you a number. But anyway, I've already
got it. I've got the number. Gave me the number. Yeah, Donna.
Okay.
I gave him the number. She called me.
And then I called, left a voicemail, you know, clearly saying that. that's where we are. Three of us are working on it.
She told me somebody's over to call the commissioner, and I think she just went through the list and called all of them. I don't know. She may have called Mason too. I don't know.
Which intersection was it on that? Did you get her
response? It was 74 and Cheatham Mount?
Yeah.
No. Ain't much you can do there.
I don't know. I'll send her over to Chris.
She said she had to pull out in the middle of the intersection to see.
Right there across from here, Jim.
Yeah.
274 to 5 o'clock.
And I even, you know, I was like, well, it's right there on the edge of yours and mine, but I never could find out from her exactly where the location was, even though you said
that separate. Intersection was she planned it.
Okay.
To all right. She said she's got to pull out in the intersection to deceive because the brush is somebody collapsed. But I think that the answer got all around, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. I mean, just it's a arch angle.
Yeah.
I wanted y'all to be aware of
it. Got it.
I had another cover fall off the annex. I got it in the pickup. So I don't know if we can reach it with that 32-foot ladder or not, but I mean, off they
the, the lights.
Yeah. Reaching around like 6 inches. I don't know why they're not turning it all the way, but I think the little
super blue
stuff will. They've been falling off. I don't know.
Yeah.
They've replaced them all. I did get a call that the they're going to pull those gates and reverse the gates.
Yes.
Think this week.
Yep.
Bad week.
Yeah. I think that's it.
I have a flashage over at your office.
This guy.
Yeah.
Okay. Commissioner Well.
Commissioner Matthews, kind of, I was going to say the gates are, you know, they've done their studies. The contractor agreed that they've got to fix them, and so they're going to go down much deeper this time and put more concrete around them. So those gates should be swinging normally after it's all said and done. And I'll still bash it. Thank God for this rain. I'm good.
Mr. Basham.
You lowered the drain, man. That's all we got.
Yeah, very good. Commissioner Taylor?
You pretty much covered everything I have.
Good. Only thing I've got, and I don't want to overstep my bounds in committing for them, but if they need some help on designing a dead man for those gates, Randy Belt may be available to assist in that. I believe he's got some experience. You know, of course, that might involve his son's involvement as well. So, and with that, that concludes the business of the court today. We stand adjourned. Thank you.
That'd be your involvement, Logan. Yeah.